What do you think, eh? I got this for doing that car dealership ad. All right, enough messing around, huh? Let's play this game. Let's play some football.
Welcome in to the Squirtle Showdown edition of the podcast. This is the Publics and Privates OK Preps podcast presented by Squirtle. I'm your host, Ben Johnson, coming to you live on the Squirtle Showdown week, where we have some big 7-on-7 tournaments coming up, and I'm joined by my co-host, Michael Swisher, who you got to bear with him a little bit. He's feeling a little bit under the weather, but Michael, how are you?
Well, I've been better, but I'll get better, so all is good right now.
And more so than anything, people can look forward to the later on in the podcast. We have Chris Wolfong on to talk about his website, iwasatthegame.com. Probably one of my favorite websites now, just because it has pretty much everything you could ever need as a high school sports fan in Oklahoma. And Chris kind of shares his thoughts on, you know, how the website got off the ground and kind of how it operates on a day-to-day basis and month-to-month and all that. So if anything else, you don't have to... You can just fast forward past me and Swisher now and just go to the Wilfong part if you're more apt to do so.
Yeah, man, I love that website because I'm a person who I have to feel prepared, whether I'm, you know, preparing for the Squirtle Showdown, the interviews we're going to be doing this weekend, or preparing for a state tournament, or, you know, doing an interview, so just anything like that. I want to be prepared, but I hate doing research. I love information and I love having it, but I hate gathering it. So having a place like iwasatthegame.com, man, it makes our job so much easier.
Yeah, the football stuff is fantastic. I'll go to the team pages. I will go to the playoff pages. It was huge last year when we had Jacob Bruce breaking the state rushing record. You could keep track of, you know, who he's passing by week, all sorts of stuff. And I honestly, you know, whenever Chris throws out random stuff on, you know, he'll tweet out stuff that he'll end up putting on his website. I can't help but just pause and read every single bit of whatever he's throwing out there.
Yeah, it's usually a pretty good little tidbit. And like he'll tell us later on, you know, some of that stuff he comes up with on his own, sometimes it's brought about by a question by a reader or, you know, one of us scribes out there. So, yeah, stick around and listen to that. It's some good information.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of the stuff that will end up going on his website this fall will be some of the football guys that you and I will be seeing live and in person Friday and Saturday. We have the 7-on-7 Squirtle Showdowns, one on the east side in Bixby on Friday. And then there's one, is it at Norman North on the west side Saturday?
Norman North.
That's where Michael Swisher will be set up, and you'll be able to see all sorts of player interviews, coaches interviews. I'll be posted up in Bixby. Michael will be in Norman. It's kind of, I think the showdown was really kind of my introduction into the whole Squirtle scene last year, kind of teaming up with Whit Carter to do some videos last year. Honestly, for me, that's kind of where I started the whole doing a lot of the videos and carried that all through the athletic season last year.
It's kind of where you got baptized. And this also from the Norman site will be live streaming some of the games from the main field too. So you want to check that out if you can't be there in Norman. You know, definitely go to squirtle.com or pull it up the app on your device, and you can watch some of those 7-on-7 games live.
I mean, I just pulled up the schedule, and just by looking at some of these teams, I mean, if you got nothing better to do on Saturday, at least hit up that live stream, because you can watch Bishop McInnes and Dominic Richardson, or you can decide to watch a Stillwater match. And we got all sorts of good teams. We'll kind of run through these pretty quickly. For the West Side one in Norman, the large school includes Norman North, Del City, Edmond North, Choctaw, Chisholm, Stillwater, Westmore, PC North, Midwest City, and Bishop McInnes. Any of those teams that you're, you know, pretty fired up to watch on Saturday?
Well, you know, you mentioned Dominic Richardson. Bishop McInnes has a couple of athletes, big-time D1 athletes people are looking at. Midwest City, you know, defending champs, but they got a lot to replace. I'm curious to see Norman North, second year under Coach Jones now. You know, they kind of fell off last year, so I want to see how improved they are.
pulling up the small school one here. On the small school side, we have Cashin, Minko, OCS, Cassidy, Crossings Christian. Shout out for them to get in at the last minute. Hennessy, Luther, Oklahoma Bible Academy, Stroud, and Perkins. And for me, just looking at it, I know Stroud kind of jumps off the page because I know they have a bunch of guys returning this year, and I know we talked to Coach Shack at the shootout. You can go check out Swisher's video with Lynn Shackelford on the Squirtle YouTube page, kind of breaking down what Cashin's looking forward to in the 7-on-7. So, I mean, the small school side is pretty stout as well.
Yeah, Cashin definitely going to be a contender, if not the heavy favorite in Class A, with pretty much 20 returning starters, 21 returning starters, replacing Griffin Lamb at quarterback, but they've got a young man in Harmon that they're really pumped about. Hennessy, brand new coach, and he's going to be bringing in a new system there, so we'll see how the Eagles do, because this isn't something that they do a lot. But yeah, Stroud, Minko, teams that really compete and go deep in the playoffs, and so it should be a lot of fun, a lot really, really competitive. And then you throw in Cassidy, their numbers have been down. They're trying to build back up, but they're coming out and they're playing this stiff competition. This, like you said about Chisholm, this can only help.
Yeah, I think the West Side one should be a lot of fun. Shifting to the East Side, honestly, the large school bracket might be loaded with maybe, I don't know that you could sub any of these teams in or out and have more talent than you have in the large school pool on the East Side in Bixby. But you get Jinx, Owosso, Bixby, Broken Arrow, Union, Coweta, Cleveland, Hilldale, Bishop Kelly, and Booker T. I mean, when the fact that you can incorporate Jinx, Owosso, Bixby, BA, and Union together speaks volumes. And then I'd leave out Booker T there, but obviously they're going to bring all sorts of athletes everywhere.
Yeah, you're going to be a little spoiled on Friday. I'm a little jealous, not going to lie, but, got to give the East Side a little bit. You got to throw them a bone here and there.
Yeah, I know. We're always so football deprived on the East Side that I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of sympathy for us. Honestly, the biggest part is the fact that the Squirtle 10 is going to be set up on the north side, and that's where north side of the main on Lee Snyder Stadium on the main field, and that's where a lot of those big time matchups are going to be happening, is on the north side. So there's a good chance that I'll be straying away from the tent from time to time, probably to go watch Booker T's J.J. Hester catch some passes. I mean, when Booker T plays Broken Arrow, you could have J.J. Hester matched up against Miles Slusher. You think some college coaches wouldn't mind watching that?
Yeah, they'd be salivating at that, just to kind of see how they match up with one another.
Yep. And I've got some previews of these going up on the website, kind of breaking down some players to watch, stuff like that. Another thing, Union has former Coweta quarterback J.D. Geneva kind of leading the charge. You got Bixby, Division 2 champs. Got a returning quarterback in Mason Williams. Got a Broken Arrow team that's still polishing the gold ball from last year. Like I said, they got Miles Slusher. They're going to have to break in a quarterback, but they have Marion Horn, who's going to be a junior running back. No, sophomore, junior. I can't recall off the top of my head, but already bringing in offers. I think he has an offer from OU, so we say all that and don't even include Bishop Kelly, who has a bunch of kids getting recruited right now, including Zach Middleton, who's committed to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to be basically bored for 6, 7, 8 hours over there. So, try to fill the time.
I think that was the spoiled part that I was hitting on right there.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Small school side, Cushing, Henrietta, Verdigris, Pawhuska, Beggs, Locust Grove, Okmulgee, Morris, Lincoln Christian, and Blackwell. Immediately, the one that kind of jumps off to me, I think Lincoln Christian would probably be one of the most dreaded teams to face in 7-on-7, just because they have Chase Rickey at quarterback and Sam Brugman at wide receiver. Don't be surprised if those two continually connect on Friday for a bunch of catches, bunch of scores, and if Lincoln Christian ultimately succeeds in 7-on-7, because they just seem like the perfect 7-on-7 team for me.
Yeah, they'll be really talented. And, you know, Beggs, obviously.
Yep.
Is always going to have a lot. You think they're well suited for 7-on-7. Pahuska, you know, how are they coming along with Matt Hennessy? Matt Hennessy likes to, you know, put out high scoring offenses, and you know, how's that going with him at Pahuska? We'll find out a little bit more this week.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Hennessy's offenses like to throw the ball around, so 7-on-7 would definitely be something to watch with him leading the charge. And you know, they got Bryce Drummond coming back at quarterback. You know, there was a reason he left Locust Grove for Pahuska. Obviously, he wasn't going to leave Locust Grove to go to a Pahuska team that didn't have any talent. So, I think, you know, you talk about Cashin being the favorite in Class A. I think Pahuska, not necessarily my favorite, but I think they're definitely a dark horse to keep an eye on just because the district they play in is really tough. I think they'll be pretty well – they'll be well tested by the time, you know, playoff positioning rolls around towards the end of the regular season.
And Matt Hennessy, I noticed today, he liked the Squirtle page on Facebook, so big props to him.
See, there you go. And I've even told him that he has to come by the Squirtle tent to do a video interview, and he gave me a big thumbs up. So, you know, double kudos to Matt Hennessy.
Yeah, he normally shies away from that stuff.
Yeah, I know, doesn't he? And then you've got Brent Scott, who just took over at Old Mulgee, kind of led a resurgence at Kellyville last year. Verdigris. Travis East. We've got to give Travis a big shout out. He's a big Chiefs fan. So in the fall, he and I will often talk on Sundays. You know, a lot of high school coaches might be taking some Sundays off to kind of recoup and get things ready for the next week. And maybe, you know, loading game film that day and maybe not doing a whole lot more than that. But I like to bug Travis and talk Chiefs football with him. So you got to kind of feel bad for him there, huh?
No doubt, because the rest of us just have to read your tweets. He's got to read your tweets and get your text messages.
That's right. And then I already mentioned Lincoln Christian. You know, I'd have to look at 3A football a little bit deeper, but the fact that they have one of the top quarterbacks and one of the top receivers coming back, that doesn't hurt their chances in terms of being successful this year. So that's what we have going on at the showdowns. Like Swisher said, some of the West Side games will be live stream. If you're gonna come out in person, we got plenty of Squirtle swag that we'll be handing out. And yeah, just come on. If you want to come on by and bug us, you're more than welcome to do that as well.
Yeah, please do that. And also, I want to say thank you to some of our sponsors: Use Federal Credit Union, Great Plains Land Company, and probably my overall favorite restaurant. In the area, Charleston's is going to be there, and I hear they're going to have some spinach dip, you know, at the ready. So I'm pumped about that.
I don't know that I've told my wife yet that Charleston's is sponsoring these, and if they bring out one of her favorites is one of the salads at Charleston's. Yeah. So if she finds that out, there's a good chance that she might be running the tent with me.
Well, and we're giving Charleston's rightfully some great pub here, but I am not the kind of person who goes to a restaurant, especially the caliber of Charleston's, and orders chicken tenders, because there's so many good things at nice restaurants. But the chicken tenders at Charleston's, there's probably, if it's not my favorite meal, it's top three easily. But the chicken tenders at Charleston's are just right up there. I love them. I feel bad going in a nice restaurant like that and ordering the chicken tender platter, but man, they are so good.
That's what, you know, big thing of yours is going to a steakhouse and just throw me the best chicken tenders you got, right?
Yeah, exactly. When people do that, I want to crawl under the table. But,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, at Charleston's, and literally everything's great on that menu. So,
yeah,
I'm glad they're going
to
be there.
Shout out to Hal Smith and the restaurant group. I had texted the Squirtle group chat saying, I can't find Charleston's on Twitter. And yeah. I guess if I had used enough brain power, I could have realized that it was one of the Hal Smith restaurants to tag them in. So, yeah, shout out to our sponsors. I know Tulsa Tech will be at the Bixby Showdown handing out some stuff. So, like I said, you're more than welcome to come on out to Bixby or Norman, get some free stuff. We'll be handing plenty of stuff out. We've been sharing photos in the Squirtle chat among all of ourselves and seeing what all is going to be available. And it's some pretty cool stuff.
Yep, we got lots of good stuff there, so come see us and get something free.
That's right. With that, there's your little preview on Squirtle Showdown. We're just going to keep this podcast rolling along in the summertime. Don't want to keep you waiting too much longer. I'm sure we'll be getting into some public and private debates, and I think we'll probably have Lynn Shackelford on and have him shout about this or that for public schools, and then we'll get some private schools people on and have them do the same. So have that to look forward to. I mean, we still got the month of July to kill, so plenty of time to come up with random topics, huh?
No doubt. Lots of time.
Yep. And now, you've heard us talk long enough, so now we're going to throw it over to our interview with Chris Wolfong and let him do a little bit of talking about his fantastic website, iwasatthegame.com. Okay, we are now joined by the USSAA's Chris Wolfong, owner and runner of the website iwasatthegame.com. Chris, did I get that right, and how are you?
Yeah, you did get it right, and I'm doing good.
First, I just want to talk a little quick about the website. I know, for me, it's probably something I go to, if not daily. Well, honestly, it's probably not every day, but when I'm starting to type up, like, high school tidbits or whatever is going on. That's something I go to all the time. What made you want to put the website together and all that?
Well, actually started a long time ago. We lived in Fort Gibson, and we went through the time my daughters were before they played high school basketball and got to that point. We followed Coach Walker and the Lady Tigers pretty much everywhere they went, just for the love of basketball and supporting the, you know, the local community. But they, 2007, I think they lost their second state championship game in a row. And I got to thinking, just, you know, that can't happen very often. So I started to look to try to find, you know, how often it's happened. And I initially thought it shouldn't be that hard to find, and it was pretty difficult. So I started thinking maybe I need to do something like that. So started kind of the groundwork of that, and then the next year they lost their third in a row. So I'm like, this is really rare. So anyway, by that time I had jumped in and started doing some things and developing the OK Rankings website way back in the day.
Oh yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, so I was a part of that, and so I just started building data and putting it all together. I'm a computer programmer guy that loves high school sports, so I just kind of put it all together, and it's grown in many, many different directions, but past 2 or 3 years, I've been able to kind of hone it in a little bit and stay focused. I get distracted a lot and think of things and just run off in tangents, so I've tried not to do that as much lately. Just try to keep things focused, and so it's grown through a lot of iterations over the years, but I just keep adding and have a pretty good to-do list on the things I want to do in the future.
Swish, I'm sure you and Chris probably go way back, but is there something that you've always wanted to ask him that you want to put him on the spot for now?
Wow. Oh, no. We'll say on the spot for the next time he joins. But before 07, did you consider yourself a history buff? I mean, I know we've talked about it. You love digging up and researching this stuff. I mean, was that something you loved before then, or have you just grown to love it?
That's a very good question. No. I was not that interested in history. I really didn't like it, and that started the burning inside to start following that, and now it's very interesting that I start in any realm of sports. I've always been a statistics person. I love stats. When I was a kid, I'd play all kinds of baseball games and keep the stats and do all that. So I guess I have been, as far as professional sports, especially baseball and basketball, but high school sports just sort of took off then. But even now, I have a great love for, you know, American history and things like that. We just got back from Washington, D.C., and I just it was like a kid in a candy shop just seeing, you know, all those things. So yeah, it's grown very much in different areas over the years.
Yeah, I know for me, kind of as a wrestling guy during the wintertime, I think at one point Stillwater's athletics website, for whatever reason, had a list of like four-time state champions, but then it went away, and I couldn't find it unless I had an OSSA program nearby. So I just want to give you a big thank you for, you know, putting some of that historical wrestling stuff. And it's not just wrestling. I mean, obviously, the football's in depth. The basketball's off the charts. You know, what sport was probably the most challenging in terms of being able to piece together history?
I'd probably say basketball. Baseball, I worked very closely with the Coaches Association, so a lot of the information that's on there is information that they provided. They had basically had everything in spreadsheets, and they said, hey, what can you do with this? And I said, I know exactly what I can do with it. So nice. Football had many of those, much of the scores and information provided by a friend of mine and down in Broken Bow. And so, you know, I can't take 100% credit for everything, obviously, because it's, you know, people send me things. And even Ben, when you contacted me about the four-time state champions, I had that somewhere. It's like you said, it's in a program somewhere.
Right.
But I get contacted in different ways, and I'm like, I got to get a page up. So, and you know, once you have the data, it's fairly easy to put that stuff up. So, and wrestling's been kind of a challenge, but I was able to gather a lot of information from just different resources. And I had a guy a couple weeks ago send me the every dual state wrestling match ever state duel. Believe it or not, working on wrestling right now. So
very nice. See, and Swisher always makes fun of me for being the wrestling guy in the wintertime.
Yeah, no,
we're thankful for you. No doubt. I'm assuming Sooner Bubba is one of your contributors to some of your football history.
Absolutely. Yeah, Sooner Bubba. He was one of my first guys I worked with.
As far as entering it in, it's got to be a chore. Is that something you do by yourself, or have you the family to work on that? How did you know, that can't be easy putting all that information in.
Yeah, I've definitely put my daughters to work on that, and my wife helps me some on that. But again, you know, if some of this information I get in spreadsheets, so if I can have it in a, I'm kind of a data nut or whatever, but you know, if I have it in the format that I can go and have it and you know, put it in how I want it in my database, then that's a great help. But a lot of times it's hand entering that stuff, so you know, even when I get it, I have to have a certain, you know, way that I have my website looking at it, so it's it can be a challenge. But yeah, my daughters and my wife have been put to work.
Very nice. I didn't know this was a family-run operation. That makes it all the more impressive, honestly. But one thing that I noticed this year was obviously logging all the different championships, and I even pulled up your website and Swisher and I's last podcast and quizzed him on which school won the most titles this year. And I'm sure you probably know off the top of your head since you entered it in, but can you remember?
State championships this year was Bishop Kelly with 7, I think.
There you go. Very nice. You know, in terms of all the titles this past year, whatever sports it was there, or maybe what stood out to you, whether it be fall, winter, spring sports, was there a championship that really stood out to you above the rest?
Well, I think a couple, I guess. I look at during the season, I look at schools that win their first championship in any sport. I think that's quite an accomplishment for a school, very exciting for a school. I know last year, year before last, whatever, I think Wright City Boys, that might have been their first championship.
Yep, and Lumberjacks.
This year, I had two that accomplished that this year. One was Kellyville in softball. It was their first championship in any sport. And then Iowa, they won. Actually, they won slow pitch and fast pitch, but that was their first two championships for the year. So, and of course, you know, basketball is kind of, you know, where I gravitate towards. So I think the ceiling girls win this championship this year was obviously a big one because it was the four-peat that's, you know, never been done in girls basketball. So those stood out to me.
Yeah, you talk about first-time state champions, and I was honestly surprised when I showed up at the 5A, 6A baseball that both Pryor and Edmond Santa Fe were first-time winners. I mean, if I thought a little bit harder about it, that probably wouldn't have been that big of a shock to me, but it seems like programs that have always been really good, and you'd have thought they'd have had titles by now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And I think Kenta's win was their first in school history when they won board basketball this year. I think they've won it in any other sport.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. So all the K schools, Kiowa, Kenta, and Kellyville got their first goal this year. So
see, I wouldn't have even pieced that together. So that's why you're here to help us all. Honestly, I think my favorite part, you know, in terms of the website and everything this year was, I think it was football. Maybe not the week where we figured out pairings and everything, but it might have been that first week of the playoffs. And I remember, you know, as the results were coming in and stats and everything. I think you and I were texting back and forth, Chris, that night, and you were just sending me off-the-wall stats, and honestly, I was nerding out, and that was just fantastic. I mean, I'm sure you were probably like the rest of us, just gathering a whole bunch of stuff, but, you know, do you enjoy, obviously, basketball is a big passion, but what about the football playoffs? You know, did that kind of take you to the next level, or what?
Yeah, I definitely enjoy football, and, you know, football and basketball are pretty busy times for me and my OSSAA hat.
Sure.
It's a real job.
Yeah, exactly.
My real job, and I was at the game job, my 5 to midnight job. So, but yeah, just making sure, you know, all the brackets are correct. And you know, you can't, I hate messing up, you know, you get something wrong or on either place. You know, you get something wrong in a bracket, but, you know, usually it doesn't take very long for somebody to let you know
when that happens. Can you blame that on Van Shea pretty easily?
Yeah, he does. Actually, a lot of people don't know this, but he maintains all the content on the OSSA website. So absolutely do I point and blame him.
See, all the direct. Direct all ire to Van Shea.
Exactly.
I thought we could blame a lot of this stuff on Mike Whaley or David Glover. So I need to start blaming everything on Van Shea, is what you're saying.
Yeah, Van Shea is he's a pretty easy target, but
I think my favorite was Glover had posted. I think it was might have been small school basketball or even like 2A through 4A, and there was one team was listed twice or one of the area sites was wrong and. I sent him a text, and it wasn't very long after they posted, and he was like, oh, yeah, I've already been notified by multiple people. So, yeah. You know, it doesn't take long.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It doesn't take long. Now, Glover would be very quick to blame me for everything, so I haven't quite trained him on the blame game.
Okay. Well, he's a friend of the podcast, so now you guys are on even playing field, so you got that going for you now.
Exactly. So I ride into work with him about 3 days a week. So I get to hear all of his stories and I'm across the hall from him. So I get to look at him every day. So I get a big dose of David Glover.
Well, my biggest downfall with this podcast was I forgot to turn his microphone on when he was on the podcast. And I know for a fact yours is on right now. So at least we have that going for us.
Yeah. And he said you did that on purpose, but.
I would do no such thing to him, I promise. I would do it to Swisher, but I wouldn't do it to David Glover.
There you go.
Well, Chris, I appreciate you, man, for hopping on here. And you know, when fall sports get rolling and you've got a lot of more cool historical facts, you're always welcome to give us a shout and we can talk history, and because that's, like I said, that's kind of my lane. I like to look and see randomly who won like a 1993 championship and whatever. Yeah, it doesn't even really matter.
I prepare a lot, you know, going into the playoffs. I don't just, you know, come up with a lot of that stuff on, you know, that Friday night. I look ahead on a lot of those things. And, like, you know, especially, you know, Swisher, me and Swish sit next to each other at the state tournaments, and he'll ask a question or say something, and it'll prompt a thought, and, you know, and we'll go and dig things up. So, again, it's not all me coming up with all these things. It's, you know, a lot of people asking a lot of questions, and, you know, sometimes we can find the answers, and sometimes it's a little bit more difficult, so.
Awesome, man. Well, thanks for coming on, and I promise we'll have you back on real soon.
That sounds great.
Awesome. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.